Lots of things happening around our world, in particular in the Middle East. So we bring our Middle East news update guy, David Dolan, longtime journalist in Jerusalem. He knows how to help us understand what is really unfolding in that part of the world. And David, let's get to the conversation immediately. There's concern that Bashar Assad over in Syria may have put the ingredients together to put together a sarin gas that would be very, very dangerous if it's released, could kill quickly. But what are the Israeli leaders saying about this possibility, this threat of a sarin gas out of Syria?
Well, Jimmy, it's been one of the nightmare scenarios for decades now, ever since the Soviet Union began to supply their ally Syria in the 60s under the current dictator's father, Hafez al-Assad, with the capabilities of producing sarin nerve gas, which is what you've just been speaking of, and VX nerve gas and other chemical agents that are extremely deadly. And I sure remember well sitting in my sealed room in 1991 when Saddam was sending his Scud missiles from Iraq over to Israel, and they were exploding mainly in Tel Aviv, but we had a few around Jerusalem as well. And the only protection against these deadly nerve agents is to be in dead air. A gas mask is not enough. It's not just breathed in. If just a droplet of this sarin nerve gas gets on your skin anywhere, on your neck, on your hand, any exposed skin, and is absorbed by the skin, it begins to shut down the central nervous system immediately, and it takes just minutes for a person to literally choke to death from this. So it's they're very deadly weapons, horrible weapons, and these are not playthings. These are very, very serious weapons, and these reports that they've been loading the components of the sarin nerve gas onto airplanes, that came from a report NBC News had in the middle of this week. Very, very disturbing. And of course, earlier, the State Department, the White House, the UN, NATO, all confirming that there is some activity going on in these chemical bases. Syria has two main ones, but they have about 16 in total where these agents are stored. Obviously, the spy satellites have been watching them very, very closely. Unusual activity, and the concern in Israel is that they're not planning to use them against their own rebel forces, but to use them against Israel in an attempt to unify their own people, get the support of the entire Muslim world, because, of course, the common hatred for Israel and desire to see Israel destroyed really permeates much of the Islamic world, at the very least, countries all over the place. So that is Israel's greatest concern, has been, and so they're watching things, as you can imagine, extremely closely at this moment.
Yes, this should cause everybody to be much concerned. But as you're reporting to us, the Israeli leadership very, very carefully and circumspectly watching what's happening there. Well, let's shift back to Jerusalem for a little bit. It looks like there is going to be a fight for the city of Jerusalem, and probably helping that to come about is the fact that King Abdullah of Jordan came into Ramallah. He was received royally in Ramallah, where he met with Mahmoud Abbas, who now claims to be the president of Palestine. They talked about a political strategy to develop that state of Palestine. Give us an update.
Well, of course, the late king, King Hussein, the father of Abdullah, formally renounced Jordan's claim to Judea and Samaria, better known, of course, as the West Bank to people around the world, already in 1987. So the Jordanians made clear quite a few years ago, over two decades ago, that they weren't going to want to return as a government to that area. And, you know, we have to remind our listeners that that Jordan took that in a war that the Arabs initiated against the nascent Jewish state in 1948. In other words, it was never formerly Jordanian territory. They captured it militarily and then annexed it, but only Britain and Pakistan, of all the countries of Earth, recognized that annexation. So when their forces were tossed out in 1967 in the Six-Day War, they lost their direct control and really haven't had anything but indirect control since then, and then, but still a very strong influence. When Palestinians travel from Ramallah to Europe or anywhere else, they almost always travel into Jordan, cross the Allenby Bridge, and you and I have done that together, going into Jordan, and many tourists and people do that. They cross over there and fly out of Amman. So Amman is in many ways already the capital unofficially of the Palestinian areas, or certainly the area that they do most of their business through and their flights and all of that. So Abdullah's influence is very great, and in a sense he was sealing or reminding the people of that action by his father to say that we no longer consider this any part of Jordan. This is an area that we want to see the Palestinians have a state in, and they've been clear on that for many years. And going to see Abbas was maybe an attempt to strengthen Abbas, because we all can verify that his personal standing was weakened by the conflict last month between Hamas in the Gaza Strip and the IDF. And, of course, Hamas claiming a great victory from that, which wasn't the case. But in terms of politics, it certainly strengthened their image in the Arab world as the bold defenders of the Palestinians and the ones willing to take all the action. And one of their leaders said this week that Abbas needs to completely forget the peace process, ditch it entirely, and join Hamas in military actions, terrorist attacks, rocket attacks upon Israel until it is destroyed. So, but Abbas is still formally committed to the Oslo Peace Treaty, and King Abdullah supports that. Of course, the U.S. was behind that, and the U.S. is a strong ally of the Jordanian government. Hamas's standing on the street is growing all the time, and just yesterday, the Mashal, the overall Hamas leader, for the first time set foot in the Gaza Strip, and that was widely televised throughout the Arab world and widely welcomed. And Abbas announced that he will go down to Gaza to celebrate Hamas's 25th anniversary as an organization coming out of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood. So basically, he's bowing to them as well. And I think Abdullah was kind of trying to strengthen Abbas a little bit in this struggle with Hamas, because the last thing, as we've talked about before, that the Jordanian government wants to see is the Muslim fundamentalists try to take over their government, try to throw out the Hashemite monarchy there, and that is a declared goal of many of the more radical Muslim groups.
Yes, and also reports coming out, Hamas is endeavoring to try to create a Palestinian ministry of defense, which would go along with the new Palestinian state, Palestine. Well, we'll get back to that story at another time. I've got to ask you about what the mayor of Jerusalem said. He said, who is President Obama to think he can regulate the city of Jerusalem? And whether we build or whether we don't build, what other city in the world does the president try to regulate? What are your thoughts?
Well, that's a fair statement, I think. You know, this announcement by the Netanyahu government that they would be seeking permits to build around 4,000 new apartment units, and we have to stress that, but these are units. In other words, they would put up maybe 10, 12 new buildings that each have several hundred apartments in them. That's normally how they build there, so it's not talking about a new community. These would be built in existing Jewish communities, but the issue is these communities are located just north and a little bit east of the Mount of Olives, very close to Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and they would bring more of a land bridge between the largest Israeli community. It's called a settlement by many, but it's got about 50,000 people in it outside of Jerusalem, and that's Maale Adumim. You and I have passed by there going to Jordan, and it's just a suburb of Jerusalem, really, and the Israelis would like to link it more closely to Jerusalem by expanding the existing communities there in the direction of uniting them. Well, the Palestinians don't want that because they say it would make any state they're going to get in the future cut in two, as it were. So they're fighting hard against it, and President Obama's jumped into it, and the Europeans and the UN and everybody else. But, you know, the Israelis have long stated, look, when it comes to Jerusalem, this is our capital, and, you know, it's going to remain our capital, and, you know, we're going to build homes in it as we see fit because our population is expanding, and we're going to keep doing that. But, of course, the Palestinians call that occupied territory and that the Israelis need to get out of, and, of course, they want them out of the old city as well, and half of the city of Jerusalem, and that's just not going to happen willingly on the part of the Israelis, but that is and has been the focus of this conflict for decades, the city of Jerusalem. And, of course, the Bible says it would become a cup of reeling in the last days. And we can see politically, at least, it already very much is a cup of dispute and something that everybody seems to jump into, and President Obama amongst them.
Yes, it looks like current events are catching up with a Bible prophecy. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 2, the verse to which David was referring. Well, thank you, David. We appreciate it. David Dolan gives us our Middle East news update, and he covers the Middle East so helpfully for us as we come to a better understanding of what's happening. David, we'll talk again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. God bless.